This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, July 24th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we talk about protests. Right now, both the political party, the FNM, and the COI are downtown Bay Street protesting the Minister of Immigration. Just recently, the FNM had a press conference laying out all kind of claim. But if you go and purchase the Guardian newspaper right now, the Nassau Guardian newspaper, on the front page, we have an outline, goes in full detail about what has happened, is written by Miss Candia Deems, and she gives the details and explanation of what exactly is the leader of the opposition talking about. My question to you is Wednesday too late? And you say, what happened on Wednesday? On Wednesday, the Minister of Immigration, Mr. Keith Bell, plans to address the Bahamian people in Parliament and explain exactly what happened in immigration. And I'm asking, is Wednesday too late? It left all of the weekend for me to speculate. It left all of the weekend for me to guess what is happening and have them raise all kind of concern. The last time the media tried to press Mr. Keith Bell for explanation of what is happening at immigration, the good gentleman just walked off. No, I'm serious. He turned his head, put his nose in the air, and just walked off. Didn't explain nothing. We weren't important to answer. And that's where I'm going to be concerned. I'm going to go over Ms. Candia Deems' report and analyze what exactly is the concern with Mr. Keith Bell. People are asking for him to resign. I want to know, is it that serious? What went wrong? Surely Mr. Keith Bell will be able to explain all of this come Wednesday. But is Wednesday too late? Should the Bahamian people demand answers immediately and now? This has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. We're going to take a short commercial break right now. We're going to be right back. And Aaron Green is going to be with me.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And I'm going to start it right now and just ask Aaron Green the tough question. Aaron, you okay?
I had to clear my throat for this
one. I understand. I'm going to ask you point blank. What Keith Bell did he do anything wrong in the eyes of the Bahamian cabinet, the Davis Cooper-led cabinet? Did Keith Bell do anything wrong?
Well, it depends on the answer to these two questions. What exactly did the Prime Minister mean when right when he said Bell's earlier actions were unorthodox, right? Like, it depends on the definition of unorthodox in that context. And the second question I would need the answer for is, what does, quote, at the minister's discretion mean?
You ask me those questions?
I mean, those questions need to be asked.
Well, unorthodox doesn't mean illegal or did something bad. It's just unorthodox.
A weird or unexpected way of doing something.
Funny.
That doesn't go outside of the bounds or the scope of policy and law.
So what he did was legal. It just was funny. Funny, haha.
No, I think not funny, haha.
It's not funny, haha.
No, I think it's Goodfellow's funny. Not funny, haha.
Hmm?
Anyway, but that's the crux of it, right?
I laughed at it.
The crux of it is, have these things been done before?
Of course. It's unorthodox.
Right?
Unorthodox things happen all the time in politics.
Right. So the question of, is it against cabinet, right? The question is, has cabinet done this before? Maybe this is something that we, the public, with no real engagement or experience in this field, right? Like, we see it and we're shocked, but this is just the way that we do it.
But so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to analyze that, because the opposition leader, Michael Pintard, has laid a number of unorthodox things. If you use that word. It has laid a number of apparent, alleged, unorthodox things that the minister has done.
Right.
And we're going to analyze these unorthodox things, right? We're going to use, again, Ms. Kendia Deem's article, so we can stay safe with that. And the conclusion is, are these unorthodox things, or did the cabinet minister just use his discretion?
Right.
And what exactly is his discretion? To me, his discretion means he could do anything.
I mean, that's what it feels like when you're reading the law, when you read...
He is the minister.
...pieces of legislation where that provision, right, is included.
He could do anything he wants in that ministry. That's his ministry.
Right. But the question is, does the legislation sort of preclude cabinet, right? Does it say, hey, you don't even have to worry about what cabinet says. The power is in your hand, minister. Right? All of those questions come up. The next thing I wanted to say is, I like how you said, so we could be safe. But the truth is, statements were made by the leader of the opposition in a press conference.
Yeah, they say any kind of thing, though.
Right. And we haven't had an opportunity to see the documents ourselves that the leader of the opposition and the team, F&M team, would have been reading from. So it's safe. It's good practice. We read from the article provided by
Kendia. Stick with the Guardian newspaper. Go and purchase it and see what Ms. Deems is saying today.
All right. Are we ready?
Yeah, you need to go read.
Absolutely. Pintard turns up heat on Bell, releases purported memo from Immigration Director on Chinese workers. Opposition leader Michael Pintard yesterday turned up the heat on Immigration Minister Keith Bell. Reading at a press conference held at the Free National Movement headquarters, the contents of a purported correspondence written by Director of Immigration Keturah Ferguson to Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Labor and Immigration Cecilia Strawn on January 18th, 2023, about a directive purportedly given by Bell to release a group of Chinese nationals found to be residing at a downtown hotel without any legal status in the country. All right, so let's start again.
Yes.
Michael Pintard, leader of the opposition, at a press conference was reading from a purported correspondence, right? Mr. Pintard says, right, that this correspondence was written by the Director of Immigration, Keturah Ferguson, to the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Labor and Immigration, Cecilia Strawn.
Wait. So this is a letter or is a memo? Because this doesn't seem to be a general memo. This seems to be a private letter from one civil servant to the next.
A correspondence is the term used in the article.
That's just a big word for letter. But go ahead.
But not necessarily a big word for memo.
Okay.
You don't send
senior people memos.
The distinction you're making is important, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go on. The correspondence references an apprehension exercise conducted on January 17th by the Immigration Enforcement Unit.
Mm-hmm.
The director wrote, quote, acting on information received that a large group of Chinese nationals were being housed at the closed British Colonial Hotel on Bay Street, the immigration officers found 65 persons. Of the 65 persons, only 3 persons were able to produce documents to provide to prove their identity. Directive was received.
How many people and prove what?
Acting on information received, the large group of Chinese nationals were being housed at the closed British Colonial Hotel on Bay Street. The immigration officers found 65 persons.
65 people.
Of the 65 persons, only 3 persons were able to produce documents to prove their identity.
So 62 people had no type of identification on them at all? No passport?
When they were apprehended, they had no identification on them.
Okay.
Directive was received from Minister Bell at about 20:59 hours to have the immigration officers stand down on the operation and that any breach will be remedied on the 18th of January, 2023.
So 20:59, that's 11 o'clock p.m.?
That would be 1 minute before 11 p.m.
Mm-hmm. So it's at night?
Yes.
Okay.
Minister Bell indicated that this request was made by acting PM Cooper, close quotes.
You saying Cooper did this?
No, I didn't say that.
Who's saying this?
The article.
Oh, you want to move yourself?
No,
disclaimer.
No. I'm reading from the article, and the article says that this was information read by Mr. Pintard from a correspondence purported to be from the Director of Immigration to the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry.
Mm.
Right? And that was all quotes from acting on information to the last sentence. Minister Bell indicated that this request was made by acting PM Cooper. Close quotes. Mm-hmm. There's more.
Go ahead.
The director also wrote, quote, while I am cognizant of the present economic climate and the lack of jobs for Bahamians, I find it very disconcerting when directives of this nature are continuously received. This type of action is demoralizing to the immigration officers in particular.
Can I play you pause there?
Yes.
What do you mean act is continuously received? You're trying to say it happened before?
I think, can reasonably infer, right? Those words suggest that it's happened before.
Hmm.
Again, this is from a correspondence read by the leader of the opposition yesterday, purported to come from the Director of Immigration to the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry.
Continue to read, man.
Quote, this type of action is demoralizing to the immigration officers in particular who are trying to do their jobs as mandated by the law. Further, this is a security breach as we do not have any idea who the remaining 62 persons are nor how they entered our country. In addition, it begs the question of if trafficking in persons may be a factor in this instance.
Mind you, when you said they didn't have no passport identification, that's the first thing I thought. So boy, one day if these people were trafficked. And we know we have issues with Chinese being trafficked through the Bahamas, but I said these people are working. So clearly they are legitimate people coming to the Bahamas, but it is a reason to be concerned and say let's check to make sure.
Right. And exactly when and where were they apprehended, right? Were they apprehended on a work site?
But the work site was in the building.
You ever seen a construction site in the Chinese mainland? They work 24/7.
Yeah. And but remember they're during refurbishment of the Hilton.
Right.
So they were living where they worked.
Right. And so it's is it reasonable that a migrant on a work permit for construction would have his identity documents on him all the time? Are they issued a card that's easy to carry and keep safe?
But it's the law for all person on work permit
to to have their documents on them at all times.
That's the law.
There you go.
Right. But my thing is, if I'm not sure what time, they didn't mention what time they did the raid, right? Mm-hmm. If the immigration raid the house and the workplace, right?
Go on.
If they raid the house and the workplace, then you say, but my document right upstairs.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get it right now.
Cecil, I was wrong.
Go
it's
ahead.
8:59. I mean, technically you were wrong first and I follow along. You're going to be following up.
20 is 8 o'clock?
Yeah, because 24 is midnight.
Okay. 8:59, yeah. Thanks.
They could be working at that time.
Okay, they could be working at that time.
I'm just saying, but you're right. The law says that you must carry it on you at all times.
Yeah, go ahead.
Quote, in addition, it begs the question, we're repeating now, mm-hmm. in addition, it begs the question of if trafficking in persons may be a fact in this instance. It also appears that the expatriate has more rights in the Bahamas than Bahamians. Moreover, this is also a show of disrespect to the chair of director of immigration.
Who's writing this? Who's saying this again?
It is the direct...
The legend?
Director of immigration to the permanent secretary at the ministry...
That sounds very
responsible.
Her writing sounds very political. It's like very opinionative. I'm not sure if a director in an official letter to the permanent secretary.
It's a good question. But the question is this a technical breach or is it a political breach? To me, it seems like a technical breach.
And is she just voicing her concern and her frustration? Or is she just, what do you call it, jockeying or grandstanding? Why is she writing the permanent secretary as a director? You write the prime minister, hey? Prime minister, hey, I have some concerns.
The permanent secretary is in charge of the ministry.
It's permanent secretary in charge of the civil servants, eh? What are directors in charge of?
A permanent secretary sits above a director in the power, in the hierarchy.
Yes.
Right. But the PS is in charge of the ministry.
Hmm.
Right? The buck stops with the PS.
Yes. So the director is writing the PS and say, this is my concern and I feel issue-ish. Address
right.
it. Like, you go higher up.
Right. And that's the next question. Is this the chain of command? Did you expect the director to write the minister responsible and share these concerns?
I agree with you. The permanent secretary is higher than the director, and therefore the director write her boss, which will be the permanent secretary, and move from there. So I agree with that. And I accept that.
All right. Let's continue. Quotation. To this end, I believe that a better outcome would have been realized if the officers were allowed to take the persons into custody on last evening and process the individuals so that we would have known who was in the group and possibly if anyone was being victimized or perhaps trafficked.
That's a big claim there, by the way. Imagine if they were being trafficked and we allowed them to slip through. We abandoned our duty of care to persons who are being trafficked by investigating thoroughly.
Right, and so there is an obligation.
Or should have been an obligation.
Right. There is an obligation. It's a moral obligation because we say we's a Christian nation. It's a legal obligation, and there's an ethical obligation as well, all three.
I know when you're trafficking people, you just take the ID, so they can't travel and go no place. And if you come across a lot of immigrants without the ID, it's a chance.
Well, I think that's one of the indicators. If you've ever done any trafficking in persons, capacity building or training, that's a major indicator. Right? That's something that should be a red flag.
But let me ask you this. Who would be more adept in knowing the signs of trafficking or possible trafficking? The director or the minister? Who would be trained in it? Interesting, eh?
Is there a technical requirement, right, for capacity for training and expertise for the director and staff within the ministry?
That's part of their job.
And B, what capacity building opportunities would the minister have engaged? Not necessarily as in his capacity as the Minister of Immigration, but generally as a lawyer, right? These are questions
Which one of them know immigration law?
Both of them should know immigration law. We presume that the Minister of Immigration, who is a lawyer, would know more immigration law than the director. But surely there's a presumption that there's a degree of immigration law that the Director of Immigration must be expert at.
Interesting. Let's continue to read.
All right. So we close quotes. Asked yesterday if it is accurate that he requested the release of the Chinese migrants, Cooper said, quote, no, close quotes. Again, asked yesterday if it is accurate that he requested the release of the Chinese migrants, Cooper said, quote, no, close quotes. The Nassau Guardian confirmed that Prime Minister Philip Davis was aware of the correspondence, but there was no comment from the Prime Minister's office on the matter. Bell could not be reached for comment yesterday, though multiple attempts were made. Last week, after Pintard initially raised the issue of the Chinese nationals being released, Bell made a brief statement to reporters. He said, quote, in January of this year, the Department of Immigration, as part of its ongoing efforts to ensure compliance with our immigration laws, discovered a number of irregularities with the status of workers at the British Colonial Hilton construction site.
Question. Is this the 62 irregularities, or this is before the 62 irregularities?
I don't know.
So this, the irregularities may not be pertaining to the 62 people who are now there, but the other persons who were there before. And is it that the construction site is continuously having irregularities, so they need to be monitored to make sure there's no more irregularities happening?
Sorry, for a second I flashed back to 2003. Because I thought that was a question that we resolved from 2003, but that's a good question, Mr. Newry. Those are all good questions. And I almost half shame I can't answer them right now, but those are questions that need to be answered. Let's go back to the article. Quote, whilst the irregularities required immediate action, it was determined that given all of the circumstances, taking the persons to the detention center was unnecessary. That's the part that gets me. Whilst the irregularities required immediate action, it was determined that given all of the circumstances, taking the persons to the detention center was unnecessary.
Even if they were being trafficked.
Did they even make a determination if they were being trafficked?
They couldn't make a determination.
Right? And so, what I want to know is...
And is that a policy?
What was the immediate action that was required outside of taking them to the detention center? Because you said that was unnecessary. Did you eventually locate identity documents? Was the only breach that they didn't have the documents on them at the time?
See, this is what I assume. I assume that their work permits were being processed. Right? I only assume that. And that because it was being processed, they did not have their documents on them. Because I assume...
Right.
Right? But there should be a senior person on site who will say, here are the paperwork. I already put the names of these 65 people, 62 people, to be processed. They don't have their identification because it's already processed. But then I'm now assuming that application has never been. I don't know where the passports are.
But Ola, how do you get into the country without a work permit and start working without a work permit? How do you find yourself domiciled in the Bahamas for whatever period of time working and you're waiting for your work permit? So I don't like your suggestion, Mr. Newry, because that seems all kinds of counter to the law.
See, I remember, Aaron, that a business can apply for a worker to get a work permit, and if government has did not respond in time, the business can assume that it will be granted to them.
So you,
and have the person start working.
So hold on. You're talking about the Commercial Enterprise Bill?
Yes.
Act, the Commercial Enterprise Act. I didn't think that applied to this type of foreign direct investment, this type of development. I didn't think it applied to construction.
Keep having to explain all that.
No, no.
That's Wednesday. You can't wait till Wednesday?
No. I want somebody else to explain it.
But why don't you want to Keith Bell to explain it? He's a minister.
I want somebody with the authority to explain it.
Keith Bell don't have the authority to speak on behalf?
I don't know. At this point, I don't know. I mean, he has the authority to speak on behalf of himself.
Is it right that I could demand a permanent secretary to say, hey, can you explain it to me? Or she has no position to speak to the public?
Well, the question is, will the leader of the opposition, will the opposition in the House have... Do they have the authority to request that a senior civil servant, like a PS, present themselves to answer questions?
And is this a policy issue or this is a work practical issue? That this is the standard operation that we normally do? And who is duty to explain the standard of operandi? Is it the minister or will it be like how the commissioner of police will explain how they police? And the minister would explain policy. So when Mr. Bell comes in, will he be speaking on policy or he'll be speaking on practicality, practical practice?
Right. Well, I think technically
he needs to come with somebody.
I think technically he speaks on policy.
Then someone else needs to come and speak on the practicality of this, then.
Right. Well,
but we have a caller, Aaron. We have a caller and I want you to continue reading there. Producer, patch the caller through for me, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Ewing. Good morning, Aaron Green.
Morning.
I think Minister Bell should have not let this thing go over board where you have now protesters and criticism and all about race and high value speculation and high credit. I think he should have dealt with it a long time, apologize, or just explain why he did it. It's obvious it is out of order. I've never seen in my history where normally a person was serving people out of office. I've been looking through my files for 50 years. I have never seen it under the Linden's government or the Perry Christie's or Perry or Ingram's government. So this is something that is strange. And if this was in the United States, they would go before the Congress and the Senate. So, go ahead.
It's the Bahamas. We don't entertain the United States.
I'm just using a part of my comment. I'm not saying, I know we don't do that, Mr. Nuri. But I'm saying that the Prime Minister need to put a tightening on his government. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I feel that it's totally out of order.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Yes, sir.
But I want to continue reading so we can analyze exactly. I think whenever Wednesday come and Mr. Keith Bell speaks in Parliament, someone, a technocrat, just similar to the police force and the minister speaking about practicality, needs to come and explain from a practical way the process of immigration. I don't think that Keith Bell has the authority to explain that. He can explain policy. This is our government policy. We ain't asking for no more work permits. Right? We can let them come and work until we get the work permit. I can understand that.
I think he has the authority to ask the technocrats in the ministry to prepare a document that speaks to the technical side. He has the authority to do that, but I don't think he has the authority to create the technical rules. Right? Himself. I think as a minister, he takes what's given to him from the technical staff and he takes it up to cabinet. Right, and cabinet sits and discusses the recommendations, and they come together.
But the director already said, "Man, in this purported correspondence, that this isn't anyway."
Let's get back to the article because I have a text here that says, "Would you guys stop assuming and wait until Bell give the answers on Wednesday?
The audacity!
You guys being negligible with your comments, stirring up confusion." Dear Texter, I want to say that it is the minister himself and his cabinet that have created the environment in which
what
you call confusion stirs, right? They have the opportunity to be honest, to be accountable, and to be transparent.
So we need to be patient, he said.
They have an obligation to do it. That's what the commissioner of police said. Just stand by.
Stand by.
We're standing by. We have been standing by for years now on matters. And I would hate to see this matter go the same way.
The Bahamian people opinion ain't important. We could wait.
We stopped questioning the old BPL board, and the new BPL board had the audacity to tell the Chamber of Commerce, we ain't answering any questions put to the old board. You want me to wait until Keith Bell has resigned or is out of power?
Keith Bell. He's the boss. He's in charge when the Prime Minister's not. No, that's the next guy from
Abaco. That's the other way.
That's the guy from Abaco.
It's safe if we read from the article, Mr. Newry.
I'm just saying. He's in charge now.
All right. Quote, and I'm going to repeat, we're going to start here. Whilst the irregularities required immediate action, it was determined that given all of the circumstances, taking the persons to the detention center was unnecessary. It is important, continue the quotation, it is important to note that the employer, as with almost every other major hotel redevelopment, has a heads of agreement with the government of the Bahamas to permit the temporary importation of foreign construction workers.
Let's pause there.
Yeah.
So is it saying that other hotels doing the same thing? Just bringing in people without any paperwork?
But stick a pin.
This is standard?
This hasn't actually said what happened. What you said just now implies that somebody explained what happened. Quote, as with almost every other major hotel redevelopment, has a heads of agreement with the government of the Bahamas to permit the temporary importation of foreign construction workers. Undocumented, though, is the question.
Apparently, this is standard.
Does it permit them to, right? Secondly,
this is the standard.
Quotation, secondly, the irregularities found at that site could and were expeditiously cured by the employer. And thirdly, the completion of the renovation works at the British Colonial property will address and add critically needed hotel
you see what he's saying?
Rooms on New Providence
the
and
rooms
create
trump,
additional employment.
The rooms trump the immigration law. That's what, read that part again. Let's see what that means. He's saying that because
the Minister of Immigration
purported correspondence. No, that's not a purported.
No,
part.
No.
What is this now?
No. Last week, after Pintard initially raised the issue of the Chinese nationals being released, Bell made a brief statement to reporters, and we are reading that statement.
Let's see that part again. Read that part of Bell's statement again.
Quote, it is important to note that the employer, as with almost every other major hotel redevelopment, has a heads of agreement with the government of the Bahamas to permit the temporary importation of foreign construction workers. Close quote.
We ain't having a problem with that, eh?
Right. The question is, are they documented or undocumented? And are they required to document said temporary workers under this particular or any heads of agreement?
And should they have work permits before they come in?
B, and C, you suggested that perhaps the problem is that their permits were being processed in the moments that they were found without documents. But this says, secondly, the irregularities found at the site could and were expeditiously cured by the employer.
So why didn't they do it in the first place? If it was that easy, why wait?
And when you say expeditiously cured, if they were detained at 2059, which is 1 minute to 9 o'clock p.m., what could have been expeditiously cured at those hours? What technical, legal
process... I wonder where their document was.
Was the employer able to complete or engage to, quote, expeditiously cure this issue?
Wouldn't the immigration officials know that they have an application in the system already before they go on?
Is this about a breakdown in communication within the ministry, right? How is it that you have teams of immigration officers authorized to go out, search, seek, and detain, but you don't inform them of the spaces where you know that there are migrants and you know they appear to be, and because we're presuming now that nothing technically was wrong.
They apply someplace.
Right. That they are legitimately in the country.
I see the callers, but I want you to read that last point. I want to understand what they said about the hotel rooms.
And thirdly, the completion of the renovation works at the British Colonial property will address and add critically needed hotel rooms
in tourism now, eh?
On New Providence and create additional employment and opportunities for Bahamians.
He's saying that tourism is so important that the need to speed up and make these rooms available is so important that is now a reason to say, Lord have mercy. Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Patch that caller through. Caller, can you hear me? Press that again. Don't hang up. Let's see if we can get it. Caller, can you hear me? Caller, you got a call back. Let's go to the next one. Caller, can you hear me? We ain't getting nothing through. Hello, can you hear me? Caller, going once. Something going wrong. Caller, can you hear me? Okay. Caller, we got a call back.
We want
to hear you, but we having issues with connecting you. But stay tuned. But see, this is what I'm trying to analyze, right? It seems as if tourism is so important to the immigration minister that he felt the need to mention tourism in terms of enforcing his job. I have a concern about that.
You have a concern about that. I am concerned about the conflicting statements from the Minister of Tourism and the Minister responsible for immigration. I want to read directly from the article. I just have to find it again where Keith Bell suggests, or the article suggests.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Here we go. Quote, this is from the letter, purported letter
from the
Director of Immigration to the Permanent Secretary.
I was to ask who the name of the Permanent Secretary and the Director is, you know, but we can skip that for now.
I read them. I read them initially.
No, let's say the names again so I can know them.
All right. So the Director of Immigration is Keturah Ferguson and the PS is Cecilia Strawn.
Okay. I just want to know who they are.
So this is a quotation from that letter. Directive was received from Minister Bell at about 20:59 hours to have the immigration officers stand down on the operation and that any breach will be remedied on the 18th of January 2023. Minister Bell indicated that this request was made by Acting PM Cooper. Close quotes from the purported letter.
From the purported letter. And mind you, as Acting PM, I believe the PM can direct anybody in this country, even the Commissioner of Police. You see where I go on there? You haven't even challenged that.
I don't think that's correct, Mr.
You haven't challenged that. I believe that our Prime Minister can direct the Commissioner of Police, just like how he will direct the immigration officers, right?
Mm-hmm.
That what to do.
Yeah, no. I agree with you, Mr. Well, I say I agree with you. I can never just say I agree with you, but it is a very big issue, right? Who is responsible, which is why it raised for me the questions, what does, quote, at the minister's discretion mean? It raises another question, to what extent does cabinet engage themselves in this decision-making process? Does the Prime Minister have the ultimate last word? All of these things are raised in this discussion. Yeah. Callers, I think we've sorted out our issue. Please, I beg of you, please call back. We were not intentionally ignoring you. We just had a slight issue. And I got a text here, Mr. Nuri, that raises another concern. I wonder if we've thought about it. Aaron, if these were Chinese nationals, I don't have any issues with them working in the Bahamas. They most likely came here on a plane. I have an issue when people come on a boat. You don't like yacht tours?
Yacht tours is good. I'm not sure why you don't like yachters.
Why you don't like yachters?
There's something wrong with that. But let's patch the caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Mr. New. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Sir. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for your patience.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Happy Monday. Listen, Mr. Neary, there's a portion in that letter from the PS and those that you didn't read that was read this morning where they are saying that they don't even know if all the prisons were actually Chinese. They didn't get that far to get to figure out who is who and where they're from.
Well, today we analyzing Candia Deem's article, yes. Right? We had the opposition leader. But we know that Ms. Deems did some investigation and have the accurate information, so we can stick to her article, even though I hear what you say.
But why is it that you as the minister have to interfere? I mean, couldn't you allow the process to go through, and once the persons who brought them in, you know, come and remedy the situation, then you allow them to be released as usual? Why should you stop them in their process of doing their job? Now they're going to be afraid to do their job in some cases because they don't know what you're going to do next. I mean, come on, man. That's not right. You know, by no stretch of the imagination, that's not right. They should not be doing things like that. And every time you turn around, it's something else with this immigration business. Something needs to be done. You know, and Aaron, I know you're a good investigative journalist.
No, so ma'am, I'm not a journalist, but I appreciate the sentiment.
But you need to do some investigation, man, because, you know, he's saying he's going to answer on Wednesday. You know, so what are we to think up until then?
We could think anything we want to think. We could think anything we want to.
I'm the prime minister of my own brain.
But thank you very much. We have another caller there. Let me pass this caller through.
Thank you so much.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead, caller.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Yee?
Doing well, man. Blessings.
You know, what I find more treasonous than the minister behavior and his action is his flippant attitude and his disrespectful attitude towards the media, the press, and the Bahamian people. Like, hey, I did it. Big deal. Y'all get over it. I mean, most disturbing. And I echo the sentiments of the thousands of Bahamians who are due crime physical resignation. He has to go. His actions are treasonous.
No, I see, treasonous is a harsh word, and I was going to correct you. I was going to let you think him. I do not know what Mr. Bell did is considered treasonous. And the reason why I say that, too, in particular, there's a key word that, what is called indiscretion? It's discretion of the minister. He has discretion. And we need to understand what discretion means. And evoke that meaning.
And the scope of said discretion.
And if he have discretion to make his decision to do whatever he want to do, let the man do his discretion. You might not like it.
Here's why I said that, right? When you look at his treatment, or not treatment, when you look at the red carpet laid out towards immigrants in the country, in particular the Haitians, it's just his, to me, from what I've seen. Remember the incident when Lincoln Bay and Van Cross PI, and they found the patients living inside this apartment and living in this house, and Lincoln Bay made a big deal about it and all that.
Then finally, the people them had papers to be here. Yes,
right.
Remember that.
Peter doesn't make, but he came out immediately, and defended those people. So it seems like whenever it comes to the illegal, let me not say illegal. Whenever it says the status of immigrants to the Bahamas, he's there for them 110%.
Because he's the immigration minister. He's supposed to be there for 110%.
But he's not there for that. He's there for policies.
And the policies protect policies. Those who have legal status in the Bahamas.
No, that's the immigration department.
Then he's in charge of the immigration department.
That's the officers. That's the permanent secretary. That's the director. That's those people, not him.
But they don't speak to the public.
Those people to follow.
They don't speak to the public. He speaks to the public.
But again, from what I see, the foreigners get more treatment, get better treatment than us in the Bahamas. That's from what I see. And that's the way, that's from what I've been seeing from his behavior. It seems like whenever it comes to them, boom, right away, immediately. I'll continue to listen.
Thank you, caller.
I appreciate it, caller. Go ahead, Aaron. Any more things to read?
But there's lots more other articles to read, but you got to call on the line.
Oh, we have a call. Put the caller through. I didn't notice that. Thanks very much, April.
Hey, Cecil.
Yes, sir.
Cecil, you say discretion. The minister get discretion.
That's what the law say. I ain't saying it. That's what the law say.
Now, Cecil, I know if you know how that sound, right? And I know that have a meaning, right? But it sound like it gives the minister the power to lie.
No, don't say that, my good minister.
No, listen to me. Not this particular. Ministers have discretions in different ministries, right?
Yeah.
So you're saying that they could say these dumb things, them, and we get to do our little investigation and find out that it ain't no true. We can't say the lie. We can't say the minister is not saying the truth.
Let me say this to you. Okay, the minister has discretion, and we, the Bahamian people, have the right to judge his discretion leadership capabilities.
No, I'm telling you how it sounds.
I'm
only telling you that the report saying, I don't know if that's the Guardian saying, they talked to the Deputy Prime Minister, right? Minister of Immigration say he either get permission or whatever.
The letter.
The voice message saying that, telling the people to stand down because the Deputy Prime Minister say this and that. I guess all of this is discretion. But it sound like, to hear the Deputy Prime Minister say, no, it ain't true. He don't know nothing about that. It sounds like it's not truthful, or it sounds like what we say on the street. It sounds like a lie. I don't think Prime Minister Davis is doing a good job when it comes down to when these ministers them mess up. And it seems like he believes, like, if he say something or make them step down and make him look bad. But I can't believe he ain't get enough sense to know that what they doing when he don't say nothing or put them in their place is making him look bad. I talking about Minister Bell was way in Paris. Answer the phone from a dying man. Now the reporter's trying to tell him the Deputy Prime Minister say that ain't no true. And he can't find the time to answer the phone. He should be fired.
I appreciate that.
The New Day government and all of that. But it's nothing to do with PL. It's nothing to do with party or who you vote for.
Let me catch you right here. I just remembered the phone call from the dying man too. And I said, it is what it is. Because the minister said it. That's why he
The church service, man?
The church service, yeah. So I said, I can let it slide.
Oh, boy. Listen.
Let's read.
We got less than a minute.
Read as much as you can.
The FNM leader, regarding the correspondence from the director, Pintard said, the question is, what happened after that was reduced to writing? Was the prime minister made aware of it? And what was the decision made by the prime minister after it was brought to his attention? We certainly need more clarity on the matter, Mr. Newry.
Unorthodox. The Prime Minister said he already acknowledged it was unorthodox. Let's move on.
It's unorthodox, but does it lie within the scope of the discretion of the Minister and Cabinet?
The Cabinet cool with it.
That don't mean it's...
Man, this has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Newry and Eric Green was with me. And I'm trying to make her understand unorthodox and discretion. That's the operative word.
Y'all buy your Guardian today. Follow this story. We'll be back tomorrow with more news, fresh talk, all day.